You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 311 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live from Phillips Arena in the aftermath of a 105-95 loss for the Hawks at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. It's a very competitive game for a half. From there, it was all Pacers, and frankly, the 10-point margin does not necessarily do this game justice. The second half was pretty much dominated by Indiana, and then the Hawks made up some ground in what was basically garbage time down the stretch. But at one point in the fourth quarter, the Hawks were trailing by 20 points, and that was probably more indicative of the way that actually things went here. With that said, one news item to hit on before we talk about the game itself. Mike Muscala was sent on a G League assignment earlier this week. I did not talk about that with Graham Chappell on yesterday's podcast. I would encourage you guys to go back and listen to. I think Graham is very smart, and that was something certainly worth checking out. But Muscala's G League assignment has begun. He practiced with Erie on Wednesday. Tyler Dorsey is there as well, actually, right now, although that is, of course, a little bit less noteworthy because Dorsey's been there a few different times this season. But Muscala is on a rehab assignment, essentially, talking to Mike Budenholzer before the game on Wednesday. Bud indicated that the plan is to send Muscala down there, up there to Erie when it comes to geography's sake. A two-game stint for Muscala in Erie is the plan. He'll play on Thursday. He'll practice with Erie on Friday, and then he'll play on Saturday before returning to Atlanta. The Hawks play a game on Saturday, and then they basically have a three-day break for the Christmas holiday, so that will allow Muscala to get back to Atlanta, settle down with his family, do all the fun stuff that the Hawks want to do during that little mini break, have a little holiday rest. Then he'll be back with the big league club, hopefully be ready to play at that point in time, because it's been a long absence for Muscala. He's not appeared in a game since November the 3rd. Bud described him as close, and I quote, before the game on Monday, so it was no surprise to see him sent to the G League for a little bit of a seasoning, because that is a very, very long time to not be playing for a person who's already sort of a fringe rotation guy in some ways. Anyway, with that said, some good news for Mike Muscala there, as a pretty short stint seems to be in the offing. With that said, we get into the game now. When it comes to what happened on Wednesday, sort of a rundown here of what transpired. Early on, the Hawks looked very good. They led by as many 9 points in the first quarter. A couple of early dunks from Miles Plumlee, who was actually quite good in this game. It also has a sort of a patented reverse dunk that he continues to try and execute, and does a pretty good job just sort of catching and finishing around the rim. It's kind of all you're going to ask him to do, but still, in general, the Hawks let things get away a little bit. The rest of the first quarter actually ended up trailing by 1 point despite playing very well. A 120 offensive rating in the first quarter for the Hawks, but the defense did not really cooperate necessarily. The first half was basically that entire segment again. The Hawks led a couple of different times, ended up trailing at the half, despite the fact that they had a good offensive performance. Dennis Schroeder had 8.6 assists and no turnovers in the first half. It was a very, very, very slow-paced game the entire way, really, but especially in the first half. They were on pace for less than 90 possessions in that first half. Still, in general, though, the Hawks' offense was pretty good. The defense was not very good in the first half. And basically what continued was the bad defense, and the offense really hit a hiccup in the third quarter. The Hawks scored 5 points in the first 5 minutes of the second half, sort of set the tone for what was to come. They did have a little bit of a bounce back midway through the third quarter. With that said, though, nothing really worked on that end of the floor in terms of the offense, and the defense was pretty much ugly the entire time all the way through. Malcolm Delaney did not play at all in the first half. He did appear in the second half before Isaiah Taylor, but basically took the place of Luke Babbitt in the second half rotation. Not a big surprise there, as Delaney played a whole lot on Monday night, but after the game, actually, Delaney had some very interesting comments to me post-game that I'll relay here in a moment when we talk about the players individually, but he was not necessarily comfortable with that, it seems, at least not overly comfortable. And it's tough to really come into a game when you have not played in the entire first half, to come in cold with no injury, no fouls, nothing like that. In the third quarter, I thought he actually played reasonably well. We'll talk about that in a second, but he did appear. And really sort of the theme for me in terms of the rotation itself was the Hawks going very, very small for a large portion of the third and fourth quarter. There was a lineup out there with Dennis Schroeder, Malcolm Delaney, Marco Bellinelli, DeAndre Bembry, and John Collins. So basically four legitimate perimeter players, not even a hybrid four kind of guy. It's basically all guards with Collins. And then that actually stayed when they brought in Taylor to replace to replace Dennis Schroeder at one point. And then actually they stayed small again with another rotation's worth, although they went to Kent Bazemore at the four and Miles Plumlee at the five before finally going back to something of a normal lineup, quote unquote, in the fourth quarter. But it was basically too little too late there. The Hawks were down by 12 early in the fourth quarter. A sort of dagger by Victor Oladipo with about 5.5 minutes to go, put the Pacers up by 15 points, and then they got it up to 20 before it actually came back down in crunch time. But again, that was the biggest shot of the night for me, at least. At least maybe not the biggest shot of the night, but one of those things that just kind of put things away, almost made things academic, was that three with about 5.5 minutes to go, and that was the end of that. With that said, we can get into the players, and we definitely will do that. But before we do that, I do want to talk to you about the good folks at MyBookie. College football bowl season is here. It's time to get on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. You can even deposit using Bitcoin if you want to do that. Where you bet is just important as who you are actually betting on. If you want to make money betting on bowl games or anything else right now, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site that I recommend during the bowl season, the basketball season, or whatever sport you want to look at. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can check them out yourself. They have odds on every single matchup, as well as live in-game betting on all seasons, NFL games, bowl games, even basketball games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit up with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, that's LOCKEDONNBA, to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie.ag, that's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, and you get paid. Thanks again to everybody for sponsoring the podcast. As always, you know, MyBookie is a fantastic thing. You guys definitely want to check that out. And the Locked On NBA promo code comes in handy. Also, shouts to Phillip Serena for sounding the alarm as I'm recording the podcast. So I apologize for that. That's the danger that you have in recording a live podcast in an arena. But here we are pressing on and with plenty to discuss. With that said, let's get to the players on this particular night. We'll start with the starters first, actually, when we're going to the bench a lot first in recent days. Let's check these up just a little bit. And the starters, they were not exactly praised post-game by Mike Budenholzer. And that was starting with Dennis Schroeder. I don't think Dennis was terrible in this game by any means. But the second half, he definitely was not good. 8 points, 8 assists. 3 rebounds and 2 steals for Schroeder. He was 4 of 15 from the floor and 0 of 3 from the three-point line. I mentioned earlier that I thought he had a very, very under control and solid first half with 8 points and 6 assists. And after halftime, he did not score. He did have 2 assists and only 1 turnover. But still, I thought he played well in the first half, not so well in the second half. And that he was not alone by any means. And Bud made sure to point that out. There was not really an individual issue when it came to the second half. It was basically everybody not playing well. And Dennis is always going to take some of the blame for that on offense, especially when he's not playing well, gets the ball in his hands so often. And the shooting was just not good. You know, a couple of just misses that are going to happen, like on open 15-footers, that kind of stuff. That's a quality shot that you want him taking when he's open like that in the same breath. Dennis just didn't have it going in this game. Kent Bazemore, 13 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 27 minutes. It was 5 of 7 from the floor and 3 of 4 from 3, so actually shot the ball very well. I didn't think he played great either, though. The shooting sort of masks some other stuff. I thought his floor game was actually a little bit worse than it has been in the recent past. I've praised Bazemore in the recent past for the way he's played. He actually shot a little bit better here, but didn't exactly play better. It's not always about shooting the ball well, although that definitely, of course, helps shoot the ball at a high level, but still, I thought Kent was just okay. He wasn't awful. I thought he was probably better than Schroeder when it came to at least when it comes to sort of their comparable baselines. And you know, Baze was okay here. Miles Plumlee had a very good game, I thought, by his standards. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 block shots, a steal, and an assist in 21 minutes. Was 4 of 6 from the floor. I mentioned this earlier. Just basically being asked to do nothing offensively other than sort of run a little bit of pick and roll, just getting out of the way, and then finishing around the rim. He can certainly do that. He can execute that. And defensively, he's not been terrible. I mean, there were moments when he can kind of be exposed on the perimeter a little bit. But if you're playing him against a traditional big on the other side of the floor, he can be useful. You know, you could certainly argue that he should play less with John Collins around, but at the same time, he did play relatively well here, so no issues overall. Torian Prince, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought he played very well in the first half, much like Dennis Schroeder did, and then did not play well after halftime. There's actually a moment in the first half when he was playing very well. He had a little bit of a hiccup defensively, and then Mike Budenholzer sort of made it very clear going into a timeout that he was not pleased with Torian Prince, made a little bit of a show of that in the same way that he's done with Kent Bazemore and Prince at different times this season, and Dennis Schroeder, of course. Those three especially kind of get the wrath of Bud at different times, and I didn't think Torian necessarily deserved all of that, but at the same time, he did not play very well, especially in the second half of this game. And again after the game, Bud was not shy about sort of not necessarily calling individual guys out, but just kind of saying that nobody played well, so to speak. Ursula Nesova in the starting lineup, 10 points, 5 rebounds. He was out of the game for a long, long time in the second half, it felt like, when the Hawks were going small. He's sort of an anonymous performance from Nesova. He was 4 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3, and it is what it is. So like, he just was okay. There was nothing to write home about with Nesova. I probably would have gone more with him, honestly, in the second half, but that wasn't as if he was playing just lights-out basketball. It was just more that I didn't love all the small ball, considering that it really wasn't working at the time. Before we get into the bench, I do want to remind you guys to check out the Locked On Hawks podcast. This is the podcast you're listening to, of course, as well as the entire Locked On network, by subscribing on an Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Google Play. Wherever you like to listen to podcasts, please check us out, as well as we have a show for every single NFL team, have some baseball shows, some national NBA, national NFL shows. I'd encourage you guys to check that out, especially the Locked On Falcons podcast. Big game coming up on Sunday against the Saints. And I'm a big Falcons fan, so I recommend that. Aaron Freeman does a great job on that podcast, so check that out today. And check out, of course, this podcast. And subscribe, leave positive feedback, do all that fun stuff. We really appreciate it. With that said, let's get to the bench here. John Collins was probably the lone bright spot statistically in this game. 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 27 minutes. He was 6 of 7 from the floor and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. I definitely want to see more of Collins. 27 minutes is not anything to just like throw away. At the same time, I think he probably is ready to play 30 or so minutes a night. 27 is up from the last few games, so it's a little bit less of a concern in that spot. But a lot of that, again, was that he actually played the non-crunch time, sort of the garbage time minutes there down the stretch, as he would as a rookie, but still, I'd like to see him play a little bit more. It was a call that I'm getting a lot from people during and after games, and I can sort of see that, because he certainly played pretty well here. It wasn't perfect. Bud made sure to point out after the game, he actually asked about Collins as the bright spot, and he sort of ran on that parade just a little bit, saying that there are moments when Collins needs to have stuff be improved on, and that's certainly something I've been saying all season long. But in general, I thought he played well here, and the numbers reflected that. Luke Babbitt did not play so well. No points, 1 assist, no rebounds. Was 0-3 from the floor, 0-3 from 3, so all 3 of his shots were 3-point attempts. 9 minutes of play, he was replaced by Delaney in the second half. I had no problem with that, because Babbitt didn't really add much to the table in that first half, and honestly, he needs to make shots to be able to play a whole lot. He was +6. He was the only positive member of the Hawks, aside from Delaney, but not exactly wanting to anoint that as a success based on Babbitt's play, because he was not very good in his limited sample. DeAndre Bembry, 3 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 turnovers in 18 minutes. He made a three. He actually attempted a second one, but it was a shot clock heave, so I won't hold that against him too much. He was 1 of 3 from the floor. I didn't think Bembry was terribly bad offensively, but he wasn't helping things there either on the end of the floor. And defensively, he was fine, but wasn't exactly a stopper in this spot either. Isaiah Taylor, next guy on the list, 3 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds in 16 minutes. He was the backup point guard in this game. Malcolm Delaney only played off the ball, and that was a little bit of a change from the other night when Delaney played a little bit of point guard for the first time in a while. So they went back to Taylor. Taylor's just not really been quite as aggressive in terms of getting his own shot, but he was a good engine on the fast break a couple of times in this game. His energy was effective, and I thought he played reasonably well, especially when compared to the guys sort of in the starting lineup, because the bench was better than the starting lineup in the second half. Some of that was Taylor. I thought he was actually pretty decent here in 16 minutes. Marco Bellinelli, 23 minutes, 13 points, was 5 of 12 from the floor and 1 of 5 from 3. Took some insane shots, as he is prone to do. Made a couple of them, of course, as he's also prone to do. But, Bellinelli was a minus 16. I don't think he was the worst player in the entire game, but it is becoming a trend that the Hawks are much worse with him on the floor, and that's probably because his defense is so bad. Offensively, he basically has to be lights out to be a huge factor, and he wasn't that here. He was not awful offensively. 5 of 12, 13 points on 12 shots. It's not great by any means, but it's efficient enough, but only if you're going to add something else, and he doesn't really bring a whole lot else to the table. So Bonelli not playing incredibly well at the moment. Finally, Malcolm Delaney, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. I mentioned that he came in cold in the second half. He was in +5, was 2 of 3 from the floor, made his only 3-point attempt, got to the line for 5 attempts, made 4 of those. I thought he played pretty darn well considering the circumstances. I mentioned this before on the podcast, but I asked him post-game how hard it was to come in cold in that second half after not playing the first half, and this is the quote that he gave me.
tough, man. Never did it in my life, so. Man, all this stuff is new to me, and I try my hardest, you know, just to do what I can to help the team win. But it's definitely tough. It's the toughest thing I've ever done in my career.
Of course, my apologies for the audio and the Gatorade request in the background there when it comes to the Hawks locker room. That's what's going to happen. With that said, though, it's still a very interesting sentiment from Delaney, of course. You know, some of that's probably in frustration after a loss, but I thought he played well in this game. And honestly, it was one of those things where I was also questioning this in the middle of the game. It wasn't as if I was necessarily violently opposed to him coming in cold in the third quarter, but it was one of those things where you think about how that has to be for a player. And in general, you don't really see that a whole lot. Bud has done a little bit more this year than in previous seasons. But for the most part, the guys who played in the first half, barring injury or, again, foul trouble, you don't always see a similar rotation in the second half. This is not the first time this has happened to Delaney, but still, I thought it was at least interesting. I mentioned this in the middle of the game before, of course, speaking to him, that it was, you know, after playing 25 minutes and playing well on Monday, I thought it was a little bit, you know, a little bit weird with the rotations in some ways. And again, I'm not saying that he has to play a lot, because I think Isaiah Taylor has probably earned that backup point guard spot. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions, but you know, Delaney has played well, and I thought it was at least interesting to hear that, because it's something that not something that you hear every single day when you talk about a guy voicing that kind of that kind of frustration when it comes to being the hardest thing in his career. That's a tough one to hear in some ways, but there you go, and that's the advantage of being on site here and sort of bringing you guys that kind of insight. So with that said, we can sort of get out of here on this fine podcast. I will say that, you know, the Hawks finished this game with a 116.5 defensive rating. That's not going to do it on really any night, honestly, especially when you're playing a team in Indiana that isn't going to blow you away necessarily. They are a pretty good basketball team. You know, they're definitely overachieving, and Victor Oladipo has been quite good this season. With that said, the Hawks shouldn't be losing by, maybe not by 10 points at home is not just the worst thing in the world. The fact that they were down by 20 in that fourth quarter kind of says more about the way that this was put together, and that second half was pretty much unacceptable on every level, and it seemed like Bud was really frustrated by it. So worth pointing out, and looking forward, the Hawks now play on a Friday night in Oklahoma City before it returning for a back-to-back against Dallas on Saturday here in this building in Atlanta. I'm not going to be doing a show that's going to air on Friday this week, only because we're getting into the holiday season. So I'm going to be doing the show post-Friday game to post on Saturday, and then after the game on Saturday, I'll do a show that posts on Christmas Eve, because I'll be taking Christmas Day off in terms of that early report. That week's going to be pretty light when it comes to podcasts. I'm certainly going to be recapping every game, but not a whole lot going on that week in between. So you will not have the full-on every single day podcast, but I do want to tell you guys ahead of time that no show Friday. We will have a show Saturday. We will have a show Sunday to recap those games, so have no fear there, but it does make a whole lot of sense to fill that gap in with a back-to-back coming on Friday and Saturday. So a little bit of just a programming note there, and I really appreciate you guys' flexibility on that. Hope that makes sense to you guys, and of course, we're getting into the holiday seasons of Christmas time. Basketball is a big thing on Christmas, but of course, the Hawks are out of action, and for the most part, that's what we're focused on this podcast. So there it is. I hope you guys will listen to the podcast moving forward, subscribe to it as well. I appreciate all the loyal listeners that have stuck with me for quite some time now, and all the people that are jumping aboard now in the middle of the season. I know it's been a frustrating one for some when it comes to the Hawks, but we'll certainly be here to chronicle it all throughout the rest of the season. So please stay tuned for that, and we'll see you guys on Saturday morning.